Caller 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You are winning our final pair of tickets to see Wiz Khalifa and Sean Paul, the Good Vibes Only Tour with special guest DaBaby tomorrow, July 25th at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, you better beat the clock before tomorrow. Go to thefandc.com. Danny, you going to be at the show?
No, I'm actually going to be out of town.
Oh, you're leaving? That's right. You're headed for the exits tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's too bad. Otherwise, you could have gone.
I would have been eligible to go.
Would have been a good show. Somebody's going to win. Congrats if you do. Let's go to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, the council member from Ward 2 in Washington, D.C. Our friend, I think I can say that. This is her second appearance now on the Grant and Danny radio program. That means she's a friend. Brooke Pinto is with us. Hello, Brooke. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me. Definitely consider me a friend.
All right. Look, I like that. You are a friend of the program now. So you have been one of the real ones, as the kids say, that has been backing this stadium for RFK 2.0 all along from Ward 2. And now today's the big day where it looks like Chairman Mendelson reached an agreement with the team. So we were just talking to a reporter. He reached the agreement, not the city council. So it's different than knowing now that everyone's going to vote yes on this thing. So do you think we have enough yeses? What does this actually mean for the vote that's coming up on the 1st?
Well, today is a huge day. I do think that this deal reached is a reflection of the input of council members who have been involved in this process at varying levels. You know, I've certainly been involved in this deal every step of the way and have heard from members of our community with great ideas that they wanted to see reflected, whether that was before the mayor's announcement or the announcement today with those changes. So there are a lot of improvements to the deal, everything from getting parking revenue and sales tax revenue for the district, making sure that there are larger community investment funds for grocery stores and retail and housing. And so I'm really proud of this deal. And on behalf of the council, the chairman has secured an agreement. And I do think of that as the council reaching a deal today.
Councilmember, if I don't have a great way to quantify it, so just using my elementary brain here, let's say the original deal was a 5. What number now would this deal be out of 10, right? If the original one was a baseline that you liked or that several members of the council liked, what would this new one be with the quote-unquote improvements?
Well, I think what's so exciting about this deal is this is great for the district and it's great for the team. And so I really went into all these negotiations with that attitude that we have an obligation to secure the best deal possible on behalf of district taxpayers. And the team knows that they want to be here. It's good for the team to be in Washington, D.C. And so that made this negotiation and conversations over the last several months so much more fruitful because it wasn't a win-lose proposition. We really were able to put our heads together and generate a fantastic deal. And I think it was a good deal, and now it's an even better deal that district residents and fans should be really proud of.
Brooke Pinto is the council member in D.C. for Ward 2. The vote is scheduled now for August 1st. The agreement struck today, as we were told by Phil Mendelson. Now, you said he basically worked on everybody's behalf. Why does it work that way? I know I'm not in a government class here, but I guess I might as well should be. Why aren't all of you negotiating with the team? Why is it him? That seems odd to me, because if he strikes the deal, but then, like, you know, White or Felder or Allen or somebody's like, but still not good enough for me, and still votes no. Why isn't everyone involved in this negotiation?
Well, I think people were involved at varying levels. So, like, for instance, I have been involved in numerous dozens of conversations with the chairman, with my council colleagues, with the public, at community meetings, and with the team, and relaying all that as we were going. So it was a very iterative process. And so while the chairman kind of finalized the terms of the agreement on behalf of the council, which is common practice, he's the chairman of the council. It doesn't make sense to have an in-writing agreement with 13 different members. It is certainly reflective of all of those other conversations and negotiations that many of us have been having for many months. So for instance, you know, when I was at community meetings and heard from people who said, hey, the district should really get more of the revenue from these parking garages that were initially set to all go to the team. That was something that I was able to relay to the team and relay to the chairman as a priority. That is included. When I heard from the community a desire to make sure that we had job placements secured for returning citizens, that is now something that is secured in the deal. We heard from the community a concern of, hey, if the commanders are going to be investing in D.C., we want their offices to be located in D.C. and generate that revenue. And so that is reflected in the deal to have their senior offices relocated here. And so I do view this as a group iterative process. We all on the council have different constituencies, different stakeholders. Some have been very involved in the process. Some have been a little less involved. But generally, it's very common practice for the chairman on our behalf to finalize these types of agreements that will then ultimately come for a vote before all of us next Friday.
Councilmember, what was the biggest challenge in this process?
I think making sure that we stay on the same team. As I said, and I really believe this, that this is a great deal for the district and this is a great deal for the commanders. And as there are a lot of personalities involved, a lot of different opinions on the best path forward, it was really important to me to stay focused on that shared vision and shared benefit that I knew was possible in this deal. And so I'm really proud of where we ended up, but it was certainly a tipsy-turvy process over the last several months.
You said you think that this is going to work out. I mean, are there other potential obstacles? I just feel like Charlie Brown. Every time I get excited, the football gets pulled. Last thing we knew, Donald Trump was tweeting that he won't allow this to happen until they change their name, and they haven't changed their name. Like, could he still be a factor and a fly in the ointment here?
Look, I think that across the federal government, there is generally a recognition that having the Washington Commanders play in the nation's capital is a great thing. It's why such an important part of this process was getting the land transferred from the federal government to the local government, which is something we worked on for many months and finally secured at the end of 2024. And so I think that recognition is still broadly felt by the White House and by Congress. And I think ultimately their enthusiasm will be maintained for this happening. But look, the deal is not finished yet. We had this big announcement today. It is a big day. It's a great day. But we have to stay focused on getting this package passed and finalized. So the first vote is going to be next Friday, August 1st. And then we'll have the second and final vote on September 17th. So I feel proud of the terms of this deal. I feel that they are reflective of a lot of the concerns and ideas that colleagues have raised for weeks. And I've been working with the majority of my colleagues to hear from them what their concerns were and make sure those were reflected back to the team and to the chairman so that we can accommodate as many of them as possible, especially those that were great ideas that were going to benefit district residents. But now it is time to get this deal passed, and we all need to stay focused on it because it is not a done deal until the ink is signed and the law is passed.
What are the two different votes? I mean, if it passes or everybody says yes the first time, is there still another vote? What are they?
So in the district, all of our laws have to be passed twice. That's because we only have one called a unicameral legislature. So we only have one legislative branch chamber. So all of our votes have two votes and they're usually 2 weeks apart. Because we're right now on recess, we're not in a technical legislative session. We made an exception to be able to vote on our budget, which was delayed due to congressional action and to vote on RFK. And so we're having the first vote. Technically, like in any law, there are always opportunities for changes between the first and second vote. My hope is that this stays consistent because this is a negotiation that we had with the team and everybody negotiated in good faith. They had a lot of movement. So for instance, the community benefit fund was at $25 million a couple weeks ago. They're now at $50 million of community benefits they're giving to the district. So that's just one example of a lot of places they have moved. I mentioned the parking and the sales tax revenue that the district's now going to be receiving. And so while I always remain committed to making sure that this is the best deal possible for district residents, I also want to make sure that we are good negotiating partners. And when we give our word that we are at a good place, that we vote on it and we get it passed.
Ward 2 Councilmember Brooke Pinto with us here on GND. Tip of the cap, Councilmember, to the casual use of unicameral. That was excellent. That was outstanding. That's how you get to be a council member. And we're just
that's
radio
a
peons.
Syllable word.
Unicameral as opposed to bicameral legislation, GP. We'll talk about it during the break. Again, help us with the process part of this, council member, if you would. There are certainly opportunities for bits of discussion, right? As you kind of said here before this vote, et cetera. The team isn't, I guess, involved in those conversations now that you guys have as a council. So let's say a comma changes place or a one becomes a two or something. I'm not saying like giant major things that are different, but still the potential for some kind of adjustment might be there. And that would be kind of without the team's input. So what they agreed to isn't necessarily what comes out the other end of the printer, if that makes sense. Can you walk us through that process, how that would be resolved?
Sure. So ultimately, at the end of the day, this is legislation that we have to pass at the council. So it's not as though the commanders need to agree to every element that gets changed. But I will say the commanders are still very much involved. They've been in the building all day. I met with them just before this interview to go over additional things we're working on with them. The main thing that we announced today is the financing structure of how this is going to be paid, how we're going to make sure that the district is generating tax revenue from this deal. That was the announcement today that we're voting on. One of the pieces that we're still working with the team on is putting all of the qualitative agreements in writing in the term sheet. So for instance, when I talk about the need to have digital signage at the stadium so that if another team wanted to play there, we could easily put that up. I must admit, I grew up a Jets fan. So I grew up going to MetLife Stadium, which, as you know, has both the Giants and the Jets play there. And it's very easy for them to interchange because of their digital signage. And so I want to make sure that the agreement that I have with the team to have digital signage is actually reduced to writing and is part of what we're voting on next week. So that's just one example. We're working on, you know, metro access and dealing with additional traffic mitigation and a job training program that I'm working with them to stand up for our DC jail to get jobs at the stadium. All of these pieces are still being actively worked on so that they can be part of what we vote on next Friday. So the financing structure is mostly secured from the announcement that we had today, but the additional terms and the community benefits continue to be negotiated.
Would you be shocked if you don't get enough votes in a week?
You know, I really would be. I'm a former tax lawyer. I appreciate the numbers of this and how important our revenue generating opportunities are for our city. I took a look at this with a fine tooth comb, and I really feel very confident that this is an excellent deal for the city. This is an excellent deal for the team. I talk to people from all 8 wards pretty much every day who tell me how excited they are about the team coming here and about the opportunity that this is going to create to revitalize this neighborhood that has sat vacant for 30 years. And I really can't imagine my colleagues voting against that future. I think it's something that they should be proud to be a part of. And I hope and expect that they will be. We are going to need 8 votes to pass it because this...
We've heard 7 the whole time. Is it now 8?
Yeah, so generally we need 7 votes to pass a law, but a little too niche to get in here, but the way that our CAFA it's a tax issue with our finance department that requires a two-thirds vote for a deal this size, and so we're going to need 8 votes to pass it.
Does that count Trayon White, or he's not back yet?
No, it counts two-thirds of the members present, and so because there are 12, it will be two-thirds.
Wow. Okay.
I will say, though, that Trayon White is set to be sworn in on August 8th, and so, in theory, he will be part of the discussions for the second vote on September
17th. This is the best. There's just so many moving parts to this thing. So he's back August 8th, like nothing ever happened. That's good for him. So he'll be there August 8th, and then is it still 8?
It would still be two-thirds of the council members present.
Okay.
Let's do some quick mathematics
Make
there.
Sure that's
Sorry,
still
council
8,
member, hold on.
Now we need 9 potentially?
8 divided by 13. That's 62%. That's
okay.
Short of...
So then we'll need 9
yeah.
after
so
August
we might,
8.
I'd have to double check that, but that sounds right. We might need 9.
So on the first vote, we only need 8, though. And then on the
right.
second vote, we would need 9. Because he's not back yet, walking in like, you know, $1 million. Then it's the second.
First vote, you need 8. That's
right.
For sure.
Okay, very good. And then, I mean, what I'd like to say, like, I know what I'm talking about. I don't know anything. And how could you? I mean, is it like this everywhere? I know you came up in the, you told us in like the Northeast, right? Like, is DC a little bit weirder than other places, or is it like this everywhere?
Well, I have never been part in another jurisdiction of an economic development deal this large and this consequential. But, you know, I think there is always a lot of enthusiasm and ideas and excitement around teams relocating and the opportunities that can create. And so I continue to feel really grateful that we have such an engaged community on this, that we have a mayor and a council chairman who are focused to getting this done. And I'm going to stay laser focused on getting this deal across the finish line. We've got to get it done. We cannot get distracted, even though there are these procedural elements and challenges. I am not going to let up our effort, and we're going to work on this every single day until September 17th, and we can get this deal accomplished.
So there have been a couple times I've almost gone down to the wine cellar to get that celebratory bottle of champagne. I'm closing the cellar door now, and I'm walking back upstairs, and I'll just keep waiting, correct?
That's right.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
A really great day. But it's not done yet.
All right, we got work to do. Keep chopping wood. We know you're swinging the axe. We appreciate it. Friend of the program, Brooke Pinto, thank you.
Thank you all.
You
can't
got
wait
it.
To see you again.
Yes, we're going to be there.
Absolutely.
We will be in your suite for the first game ever. We heard it from you, right, Brooke? That's what you just said?
That sounds like a plan. If I'm a friend of the pod.
That's a good point. Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friends go to football games.
Friends do that.
With other friends.
That's what... I'll see you 2030.
All right, let's do it. It's a date. Brooke Pinto, thank you so
thank
much.
You.
We appreciate you.
Bye.
2030. We know where we're going to be, Danny. You and me.
Yeah.
September 6th, 2030. It's us. It's Brooke Pinto. It's Meatballs in the Suite. And we're peering out. And I think it's going to be the New Orleans Saints that they're opening with for the first ever game at the new stadium.
You know what? I got to tell you, that feels right. I have no idea why, but it does.
It just feels right.
Yeah, doesn't it?
How wacky is that?
Yeah.
So we've been saying...
I told you, man.
Everyone's been saying 7 votes all along. Every single person, all the news reporters we have on, everybody. I've not heard 8 votes one time. It's actually 8 votes that they need. That is a big damn difference, by the way. I've been desperately trying to find a 5th for a while.
Yeah, you're looking for 5 and 6, and lo and behold, you need to keep turning over those cushions for 6, 7, and 8.
Now, Mendelsohn's 5, it sounds like now, because if he struck a deal with them... It'd be pretty weird if he struck a deal, did the old jig like the grandpa and Willy Wonka and the Charlie Factory today, and then he just, the chocolate factory.
He's like, nah.
And then he was just like, I'm not voting yes. So now I'm up to 5 yeses, okay? But I need 8. And then Trayon White, who's getting back on the I almost said the school board, or the city council.
Yeah.
After his, do you want to give a little update on what he went through, or how, who wants to do that?
He was booted off.
Yes.
Won the open seat. So the Ward 8 is currently vacant. It will not be vacant when he gets sworn in.
August 8th.
Yeah.
And so then Trayon White will mean that they need a 9th vote. Now, maybe he's Mr. Commander. Maybe he comes in here and all he wants to do is get a new stadium.
We have no idea.
That would be beneficial to the cause. But then they need 9. I mean, that's two more.
I'm telling you.
Than we have been saying they needed all along.
This has been my point all along, man. And I lived here for a long time. I followed it pretty closely. I didn't even know that. You see what I'm saying? Like, I consider myself fairly informed when it comes to some of the inner workings. And I'm not some policy wonk on, like, you know, weird, like, podcast doing, like, a little daily dish on the city council. But I'm saying, I didn't know that. I thought it was seven. And no, it's not eight. Actually, now it's nine. Like, when did it become nine? Well, after August, because the first vote's taking place, and then the second vote, you'll have an extra member on the council that you don't right now. So obviously you need nine. Again, do not celebrate at any time until it is 100% over.
Also, how about the fact that they have to do two votes and get yeses twice on the same thing?
You sleep on unicameral legislation.
Everyone should sleep on it.
Everyone sleeps.
I don't know what I said this about earlier, but something was dumb. Yeah. This is dumb.
Unicameral's dumb?
The fact that you have to vote two times on the same exact thing, 2 weeks apart, that's pretty dumb. I would say if I vote and it passes because we say yes, all of us universally, that we shouldn't then get together 2 weeks later to then do that again.
It may be the opportunity for, like, public commenters, like, hey, this is out there, what happens? As I don't know. I don't know why they do it that way. Like,
here's what I know. Yeah. In football, after you win, you don't get back together 2 weeks later so that they can tell you if you won or lost and try to play again.
Yeah.
You know, you either pass the thing or you don't. Let's keep. Why are we waiting two more weeks? Let's just keep it moving. And in this case, it's not even 2 weeks. It's August 1st, and then 6 weeks we have to wait.
Yeah, that's true.
For the second vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to find another vote.
Unicameral.
Doug Kammerer. What did you say about Doug Kammerer?
A single Doug Kammerer? That's great.
All right, what do you guys think? We just had a nice conversation with friend of the program, Brooke Pinto, who we will be going to the first ever game at the new stadium with. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
So ultimately, at the end of the day, this is legislation that we have to pass at the council. So it's not as though the commanders need to agree to every element that gets changed. But I will say the commanders are still very much involved. They've been in a building all day. I met with them just before this interview to go over additional things we're working on with them. The main thing that we announced today is the financing structure of how this is going to be paid, how we're going to make sure that the district is generating tax revenue from this deal. That was the announcement today that we're voting on.
That's Brooke Pinto, the council member for Ward 2 in D.C. I think the biggest developments out of that conversation, she said she is confident that this deal gets done. The vote is coming. There's two votes, actually, but the first of the votes is coming in about a week on August 1st. The second would be on September 17th. But I think what we just unearthed and what we found out, and there are actually some news reporters around town that are retweeting and talking about what Brooke Pinto just said already, the assumption in town from everybody has been that it's seven votes. That's what's normal to pass things by the council. Now, she had given the reason why. If you could find that, that would be helpful, Derek.
Because it's not a law per se.
Yeah, it's something because it's tax-related.
Right.
A tax-related something.
A higher threshold because it's financially related.
So it needs to be two-thirds majority, which means it needs to be eight votes. So the difference when you're scratching and clawing to find seven to get to eight feels a little bit harder. And then you throw in, I was kind of making a joke tongue-in-cheek, like, yeah, but Trayon White's walking back in the door, like, doesn't that, I didn't think it was between the two votes. But he comes back in between vote one and vote two.
That's right.
And now the math changes for a two-thirds majority for vote two.
You need nine.
So now you need to get from seven to eight for vote one and eight to nine for vote two. Now, I still don't think Mendelsohn would do what he did today if he didn't know this thing was passing. I'm making this up. I'm talking completely out of my butt here. But I think he knows that whoever it is, we had Robert White sitting here. He's a yes now. We've had Charles Allen on the phone a couple times. Let's say he's a yes now. We've had, trying to think of the other maybes.
Do we have Zachary Parker?
Zachary Parker on the show, who was I need this, I need that, but I'm a maybe, I'm on the fence, but here's if they do this for me, then I'll say yes. He's a yes now. So that's four, counting Mendelsohn, that we just went through, right? Mendelsohn, Allen, I don't know that they're all yeses, but this is my weird hypothetical.
Okay.
That Mendelsohn, Allen, Parker, and White are all yeses to the four we already had. But I guess that only gets me to eight. So now I'm at eight yeses. Some of the, like, we don't know Felder. They haven't done any radio.
We got to ask about Fruman. Got to ask about George.
Fruman hasn't
Felder.
Come on the show.
Right.
Felder's told us to kick rocks at every turn. Have they even responded to an email yet? I'm a big fan of the elected officials that talk to the public.
I just receive statements once when I reach out to them.
Okay, they're big statement guys. I like talking guys. I like Q&A guys. I like Brooke Pinto guys. That's what I am. But that's just me. Just a football boy here at 106.7 The Fan. Nadu is a hard no because I'm not giving to assent to anybody. Or I'm making, I don't know if that's the actual
early
answer.
On statement was, I don't believe in this.
Yeah, I guess I should say that's my interpretation. I don't want to go hard in the paint, but again, she hasn't talked to us, so I don't know exactly how she feels. Who, Nadu? You have Nadu explaining it? Oh, sorry. He has Brooke Pinto explaining why they need eight votes. Let's do that.
We are going to need eight votes to cast it because this.
We've heard seven the whole time. Is it now eight?
Yeah, so generally we need seven votes to pass a law, but a little too niche to get in here, but the way that our CAFA, it's a tax issue with our finance department that requires a two-thirds vote for a deal this size, and so we're going to need eight votes to pass it.
If the clip kept going, you would have heard us both laughing in the background. Well, like, are you kidding me?
I didn't crack up yet. That was just when I was surprised. I cracked up after we found out that Trayon White's
Oh, right.
Back.
That's when the left
He happened. Comes back between the two votes, and then they need nine. Because you literally had to do the math.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a second, two-thirds.
So eight out of 12, two-thirds, eight out of 13, because like, you need one. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I asked her. She was like, didn't really want to comment or answer. And it probably makes sense that she didn't. This is a DC thing, right?
Like, yes. Well, city council's everywhere. It's always weird, archaic rules.
I'm aware that city councils exist. But it does feel like D.C. city council is it's wackier. I don't know if it's a federal government is involved in your
it
business
is.
Thing.
Yeah, it's because there's this oversight thing. And yeah, the whole it's always this.
Let's go to Joe, who's in Arlington on Grant and Danny. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm going to throw a little curveball in here. I mean, I think a lot of us, when we talk about celebration or whatever day they pass it or whatever, I mean, I think a lot of us would like to see Trump make a few calls and get our name and legacy back as part of this. That, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's when I would celebrate. So I'm not, you know, if you're part of the segment of the fan base that's kind of checked out because you're emotionally disconnected from this particular version of what used to be the Redskins, it's more important to get the legacy back and get connected again than where the stadium is.
I think there's plenty of people, and you've called in many times about the name, Joe, and I know it's what you care about,
right.
And I respect that. I mean, I wish the name was Redskins, too. But you know that's – I mean, there is nothing Trump is going to do to change that, right? So, I don't know. It feels to me like just wasted breath, but I get that you're holding out hope.
I mean, I don't know why he made those tweets or emails or whatever it was last week.
Yeah, but, it was whatever his social media thing he uses is.
I mean, I think a lot of us were fired up by it. I mean, because frankly, I think Harris has been kind of a sleazebag on this. He hasn't been transparent on the branding, and he's kind of jerked us around. Now he's throwing a bone with the uniform. I would love to see Harris beat him up, and Trump beat him up a little bit and extract some concessions as part of this. I don't think I'm alone in that. But anyway, thanks a lot.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, so I would disagree with that categorization. If you don't like the outcome, then I understand that. But what you said, he's been a little bit of a sleazebag or not transparent. The door was open for a while, I would say, right? Where if they didn't have the kind of year they had last year, there was always this leading or things. If you were looking for clues, you could find them. About how he felt about the branding and the stupid name and 2222 and all the rest of it. I think he was as put off and recognized how dumb it is, like a lot of us did. But once they had the season they had, the jersey sales happened, the embracing of the name and that tag now, that name means something to people inside that building. Once that happened, and then he told you that, I don't know if that's sleazy and scummy anymore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like
sleazy
he said
is
it.
Way too negative a word
yeah.
to me. My feelings on it were him not speaking on it made me think they were going to do something.
And they might have intended to.
And that is very true. If they never intended to, if he knew when he took over the team they were not changing the name, and they didn't speak on it, and he didn't wear Commander's gear a bunch, and you know, he just wore kind of generic burgundy and gold, and a couple of times he referred to them as like Washington and not Commanders, then I was a little bit misled. And I do, I won't say I take issue, but I do think that he could have handled it better. I don't think that's the case. I think when they took over the team, I think they were open to the possibility that the name could change again. I think they were open to the possibility because everybody hated the name.
Yeah.
The polling in the Post was like 14% of people liked it and everybody else wanted it changed. And then you draft a quarterback and everyone buys his jersey. You end up having the best season you've had in literally 30 years. And people hated the name less. And you made the NFC Championship game and you won 14 games and the polling has improved. And you made a lot of progress. You moved merch. And times are improving. And so I think as soon as all that happened, he came out and said the name is here to stay. But where I'll agree with the caller a little bit is if they knew all along they weren't changing it, I needed that said way sooner. Because I remember the month of you I going, this guy does not like this name. You're saying there's a chance.
Right.
You know, you played with our emotions a little bit. But I think it was possible. Then they had the season they had.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure of that.
And I remember every single time they won, again, I would, you know, in segment 7 of the show or whatever, I would come back in on a Monday and be like, just got harder to change the name again, Danny.
Yeah, they're in the NFC title game, and we're going, yeah, by the way, this, you see that ship off in the distance? That's the name changing. Ship sailing. It's gone. And I think that's the case. But, yeah, who knows? I don't know, man. That the extra elements of this thing where I wish it was more straightforward, but DC doesn't do that in general. And when I mean extra elements, I mean everything from council vote numbers to federal government. I mean, it's not just the president. You have the chair of the House Oversight Committee writing sternly worded letters about stuff. Like, what did that do in this process? I mean, everything is always so damn complicated.
Yeah, the bottom line, though, is when he says, I wish Trump would get the name changed. Like, it's a private company. I mean, he doesn't get to do that. If they want to change the name, they'll change the name. If he really is going to not allow them to have the stadium unless they change the name, I guess it is possible that that would lead to some momentum toward changing the name again because they want to be in D.C. and they could have their cake and eat it too with the name and the stadium, and I guess that's what he wants. I just think most of us, we talked about this a lot on Monday's show, have moved on because he tweeted it and moved on with his other stuff, but I don't think this is really something he's going to the mattress on. It's possible, I guess, it becomes an issue again. He said something. His press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, the next day said he's serious about it. We haven't heard anything else, but we've talked to Phil Mendelson. We've talked to Brooke Pinto. We had, who do we have on yesterday? Another council member.
McDuffie.
McDuffie. Yeah. They all said the same thing. He doesn't really have that ability. The federal government does, and we don't think that's reality. So I guess it's possible he tweets again in 5 minutes. He goes, I'm really serious. I don't care what the city council says. They're not getting the stadium, and then it's a conversation again. But for right now, it feels like they're moving forward, and it was just a couple of tweets fired off into the ether. All right, let's talk to Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, the 7th-round pick running back who's trying to make the Commanders. A lot of people are excited about this guy, and I get why after watching him the last couple days at practice. He is shifty, he's quick, he's explosive. It looks different than the other backs in their backfield. That's next on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. The 7th-round pick, running back Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, has become a bit of a fan darling already. And we're only 2 practices in. This was just based on him being chosen at a position where Washington wants a little more juice, a little more burst. Got to catch up with him coming off the practice field today. The roster hopeful talking about his first 2 days of work in the National Football League.
I mean, I feel good. I mean, a lot of stuff I got to work on, and I'm just trying to find new stuff to get better at every day. So, I mean, I'm trusting the process, and it's been going great so far.
How much of that is you deciding, okay, I didn't love what I did there. I didn't do this very well on your own. Or a coach saying, hey, we need you to do this.
I mean, it's kind of both. Maybe I made a good cut, but I feel like it could have been better, like on a more of an elite level or something like that. So I mean, I'm kind of hard on myself with small things like that, just wanting to be the best at what I do. So yeah.
Do you feel like from a playbook standpoint, when you get thrown out there and you got to run something, like you've already picked everything up and know what it is, or are you still doing a lot of thinking this early in camp?
I mean, you're going to do a little thinking, but I mean, I know it. It's just me being out there, like when the heat is really on. I mean, I get used to it, but I definitely been putting time in, and I'm just, it's going to be a process for me to like fully get like 1,000% sure. But I mean, it's going great.
What is your strength? Like, what's the thing you never worry about when I get a chance to show this? Everyone's going to know what I'm about.
I mean, I feel like just being explosive. That's one of the things that separates, I think, in my game. And I just love to be explosive. I mean, it looks different. I have, like, this different running style that I like to bring to the table. And, I mean, I feel like just being explosive, that made me stand out.
When you say different running style, you mean specifically to just a lot of guys or in this room? And what do you mean by that?
I mean, just not comparing myself to the guys, but I'm just saying me in general. I mean, I feel like I just run in my own unique way. I mean, those guys have their unique ways. That's why they've been in the league for a long time. But yeah, I just like to have my own running style.
What's something that you feel like between now and the end of camp you hope is where you've made the biggest adjustment or strides?
I would say just being 1,000% focused on, 1,000% clean on my details. That's what I want to work on during this camp. And I mean, obviously, like the skill and stuff, just getting better at little things, but just being 1,000% on just the small details.
All right, a couple of things for fans just to get to know Ja'Cory Cross-Kemaret, one of the new Commanders. So if you get a day off, no football at all, what are you doing in a perfect world?
I just got me a little puppy, so I mean, he's very clingy. I mean, everywhere I go, like, he's following me, loving to death. And I like to eat. I like to try new restaurants around D.C. So, I mean, well, Ashburn. So if you got any restaurants, please recommend them to me. And I like to just watch football.
What's the puppy? What kind?
I have a schnauzer, a miniature schnauzer. That's my little baby.
Like real young, couple, like 8 weeks?
He's seven months. He's seven months, okay. Yeah.
But he's still following you everywhere.
He follow me everywhere I go.
That's funny. And what types of food do you like? What Ashburn places have you been enjoying?
I like Chinese food. I tried this, I think it's JW Fish, yep, or something like that. Kind of remind me of back down south, so that's why I really love that spot. And those are the only ones I kind of tried so far.
What about entertainment-wise? You like movies, shows? What do you like to do?
I would say I like watching YouTubers, like influencers on... just like them vlogging their life. I think that's pretty cool. And I just like, it's a show called Football Life.
Yeah.
It shows
NFL Network.
Yeah, NFL Network. I love that show. Just show how those guys came up, and I find it very unique.
So you're talking about watching football, watching that. You're a student of the game a little bit. Like, you're a football fan.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just want to be the best at it while it's lasting. This is something I love doing, so I'm going to give it my all.
Who's the best running back of all time?
I say Marcus Allen, number 32.
Know him well. Why him?
Because he's different. Okay, it's him and Barry Sanders, 1A, 1B. But I like Marcus Allen. He's tough. It was a grind back in his time, back in the day. And, I mean, he just run different. Don't like to be tackled. I don't like to be tackled. And that's why I love both of them.
Appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Ja'Cory Cross-Kemaret. I dug him.
Marcus Allen?
Love that.
How about that from a young person?
Yeah, has never, I don't love to see him play, but you heard him say he's a football life watcher, so he studies the older players, and I don't know, man. I just think it's hilarious. He's got a miniature schnauzer. NFL player, miniature schnauzer? That's a funny tandem to me. Do you know what those look like?
Yeah.
It's like the tiny little, like almost like a Scottish Terrier looking mm-hmm. dog. I was thinking French Bulldog, if you're going to go smaller. A lot of athletes have those, or guys have big dogs. He's like, I got a miniature schnauzer. That's just funny to me.
Yeah. I'm glad you're amused by it. It didn't move me in any direction, but
you're not a dog guy. You wouldn't understand.
Well, I grew up with dogs, but like I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that. I can believe it.
I don't know if I'm screaming, I can't believe it, but it's pretty funny breed. Like, you give me 10 guesses. What is the NFL player who's single and doesn't have like a significant other have at home? A miniature schnauzer would not have been one of my choices. If you're a dog guy, you would understand.
Okay.
It's just one of those things. You got to be a dog guy.
I get it.
You know?
I get it, yeah.
But he was cool. Personable guy. I'll be rooting for him.
The only thing I didn't love was like, I like watching YouTube influencers. And I kind of like a little shake of
and
discomfort
that's the old
there.
Man in you there.
Yeah, I didn't love that. But everything else is great.
Von Miller, best introductory press conference I've heard out in Ashburn in a long, long time. You're going to hear it next. I'm telling you, this is must-listen audio. He was fantastic. We're Grant and Danny.